Welcome to the Cult Film Showdown special series on The Hitchhiker. This is a mid-1980s TV show that ran on HBO, rated for mature audiences, and we're having a blast going through this anthology, early HBO original content. I am James Cotta, and I am joined by Nick Boxer.
Two thumbs up.
Two thumbs out. Don't do that. That's another. I'm just adding in Hitchhiker. I'm adding in Hitchhiker tips. Don't use both thumbs. That's weird. We're also here with Jack Hall.
Two middle fingers up for you, Nick.
That is acceptable.
That is acceptable. Yes, that's okay.
I'll send my dog over to collect them.
Yes, that means that you get to explain this episode. But first. What are we talking about? This episode is called what, James?
This episode is called Man's Best Friend, which aired on the 10th of December of 1985. Last episode we had talked about Man of Her Dreams, which is a lot of the same folks that worked on that one have worked on this one.
Yep, the same, written by April Campbell Jones and her husband Bruce Jones from The Hulk and Kazar in Marvel Comics. And a teleplay this time by Nevin Schreimer, who's a German author, mainly worked in television, did a couple books. And Philip Noyce, the Australian director of films like Dead Calm, Clear and Pleasant Danger, The Saint, Bone Collector, Blind Fury, Patriot Games, bunch of others. Very successful director. This is his second run, the second episode of this season that he directs. Ended up doing four. And I can say right now, better than what we experienced last time.
Well, that's high praise.
You don't really need a ramp to get over that benchmark, though.
No. Even I could jump that benchmark.
Nick, tell us what happens in this bad boy.
I will happily tell you what happens. Our protagonist is a jerk. That gets dumped by his wife and kicked out. He then proceeds to blame everybody but himself. Her hairdresser, his best friend, the only in 80s movie lesbian psychiatrist, and he befriends a dog that obviously doesn't like him for no good reason. But this dog, despite having no chemistry with our actor who plays our main character, decides he's going to kill all this guy's enemies. So the police and the radio keep reporting deaths of these people that he's had fairly limited contact with. And then at the end, when he comes to actually confronting the wife, we discover, big twist ending, there is no dog, and he falls out a window. The actor, not the dog, not the imaginary dog.
Maybe a slightly simplified version of that ending.
Well, I mean, it is awesome when he's crawling around the floor pretending he's a dog.
The reason he falls out the window is that the dog attacks him in his mind. And the reason he attacks him is that he's going after all his enemies. And his wife had said to him, what was it? You don't have any enemies except for your own worst enemy. So then the concept was the dog had to attack him. I thought that was pretty clever. Now that we've given it away, so the people that watch it afterwards will think, it wasn't clever at all because he gave it away. But
I don't know. I the first time I saw the dog, this dog doesn't exist.
Yeah, it was pretty obvious, I think, that the dog was in his mind. But I think they wanted it to see that way. Because, I mean, the dog would show up, would leave, go find the lesbian who was a lesbian psychiatrist, who, by the way, other than having short hair, no proof she was a lesbian psychiatrist. She never admitted it to it or anything. But she had short hair, so I think he could assume, and we were supposed to too.
Well, there's actually, you're right that there is nothing presented that says that. It's not like his wife ever says that either. Like it's entirely in his mind. And I did think when I saw her, like, oh, this is all because the therapist has short hair, isn't it?
Yeah, that was the whole reason. Yeah. She looks a little like Marcy from mm-hmm. yeah. Married with Children. And that's the whole reason why he assumed she was a lesbian. He was a classy fella. No, I mean, the fact that the dog would go away, find and hunt down this woman and come back covered in blood and he'd have to clean him up made me go, yeah, it's probably just in his mind. But the fact that the person was, that they were reporting on the television, the person was killed and mauled by an animal, mm-hmm. meant that he, who did the actual killings, had to have been so savage that they thought he was an animal. And he was a skinny little guy. Like, he's not like somebody that you like look at and think, oh, he could rip that person in half. Like, he's a skinny little dude, skinny little yuppie, annoying yuppie, right from the beginning.
Yeah, the telling moment is for me was the dog comes back covered in blood and he starts covered in dirt. He starts washing it, but the blood's actually running off of him into the shower. True. Like that, yeah. I thought that was really cool. That kind of like that bit of turn. Because yeah, he's the
shower scene we've had in The Hitchhiker.
That's true.
It is the least, the blood flowing through. It's, I thought Michael O'Keefe, who's a character actor still working to this day, I thought he did a really nice job. I was very critical in the last episode, Man of Her Dreams, of the acting. The acting was all terrible, except for him. I thought he really played that yuppie douchebag perfectly. Like, he nailed the performance.
I think to me, that's the thing. Like, his performance sold the whole thing. I really liked this episode. And it was because he did this, like, he showed this mental decline, this like complete breakdown, where he's disassociating from reality. But it does it without like making, it's not over the top. Like, it's, he has these like explosions of anger, but they don't kind of make it unusual. He's staying at a pal's place. This pal's going to be out of town. And at first the place is a little messy and then it's a lot messy. And then he's got a couch flipped upside down and he's sleeping under it. It's just those little, like a little bit, you realize there's a bit where he wakes up in his clothes and you realize like, he's probably hasn't taken his clothes, like changed these clothes, in the entire length of the story. Whatever he works at, he doesn't go to work at any point during this.
No, he doesn't go to work. He doesn't bother.
Because he takes a shower with his clothes on, he sleeps with his clothes on. So I'm assuming that he's just like, he hasn't changed clothes at all in this entire length. But I really like, I just like that, that slow, like, you know, messy place is code for just upset and depressed, but then like flipping over furniture to make a little pillow fort, like you're on to a next level. That's what I'm gonna do next time I'm down. Pillow fort.
Maybe I was paying too much attention because when he's lying in bed with bowls of raw meat.
That's right.
I kind of went, okay, he's the dog.
Yeah, you're right. At that point I wasn't keyed into it and. Yeah, it was just piles of raw meat everywhere.
That's a great note. He's staying in his best friend's apartment. I like that at the beginning, that he goes to his best friend after his wife kicks. Because the show opens with him coming home, saying, "Honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?" and she throws a couple suitcases down the steps and then comes down and says, get out. It reminds me of that joke. It reminds me of that joke. Man comes home from work and he's surprised that his wife is there because he usually beats her home. So he says to her, honey, what are you doing home already? She goes, I'm home early because I won the lottery. Pack your bags. He goes, oh, my God, where are we going? What should I pack? She goes, I don't care. Just pack them. Get the fuck out. You're welcome. But
based on a true story.
Based on a true story. So I mean, she kicks him out immediately. So he goes over to his friend's house and he asks his friends, do you think maybe she's going to commit suicide or something like that? Do you think she's maybe like me? I'm worried about her mental health, that maybe she'll commit suicide or hurt herself in some way. And his best friend says to him, I've seen you guys 5 times in the last 10 years or whatever that you've been married.
Right.
And he's like, you're my best friend. I've seen you 5 times in 10 years. To me, good friend. And then his friend says to him, you can stay here. That's no problem. I got to leave. I got a business trip or whatever he was going on. Right. He's like, you can leave, but don't touch anything. Don't listen to the voicemails. And if you eat, eat out. Don't eat here. I'm like, this is the worst host ever.
Well, and that actually is the start of the decline. Is he's like watching TV at his buddy's place, and he talks to his wife on the phone, gets mad, throws the phone, and breaks something. That's the first thing that starts everything, and then there's a little messy. You know.
Sorry, I just have to pause you here. Little word advice: if you're calling your ex-wife to take you back, pause the porn before you dial.
Yes, that's right. He was watching porn on the TV
and at his friend's house. It's still going as he's calling.
He is. Yeah, that's right.
So it makes me wonder if he found his friend's porn or he just ordered on like Skinamax or something.
It's. You know, I'm liking this episode actually more the more we talk about it, because in 20 minutes there's a lot of layers of like, because we're never told exactly why she's throwing him out.
No, like, they never.
She said you had until today. So we don't know what has led to this. Like, we don't know if he's working at all. Is he getting kicked out because he didn't have a job? He said he was traveling or something. Like, that's why he's like back. He wasn't back the night before. But yeah, like it's. I really enjoy that it's only his perspective on this that we get, and then we get that third person of. We get that like at the end. We get the third person of. Okay, well, all like so much of this was in his head.
Yeah, pretty much all of it was in his head, you know, and. Even he accuses, well, he accuses the psychiatrist. He also basically accuses, like, she works at a hair salon or something. The guy who owns the hair salon, he accuses him of also having an affair with her.
She doesn't work there. She must just go there a lot. Well, because when he goes in, he's checking people and women who are under dryers.
Yeah. Okay.
So
that's true. Yeah.
But still, Yeah,
no, but he's sitting there going, yeah, he's like asking him, what is she to you? What is she to you? To the guy that the guy eventually slaps him, says, go home, calm down. And then, of course, he's the first guy murdered. So, I mean, people murdered in this, it goes him, the psychiatrist who's a lesbian because of her haircut. Then the best friend gets murdered and you feel no sympathy for him because he's a pretty awful friend. You know, yes, his place is being turned into hell, being the furniture's upside down and has been turned into a fort to represent a doghouse. But nevertheless, he's a pretty douchey friend, so you don't care. And then the dude falls out a window. It's got 4 deaths. It's got a really good performance. It's got interesting camera shots. Definitely a successful episode, I think.
I didn't realize this till this moment. Two major deaths. One was a hairdresser. One was perhaps a lesbian psychiatrist. Is this a homophobic episode?
I think there's something to the characters, that lead character, the yucky. Thought,
yeah, it's just weird.
I don't think it's on the episode. I think it's on the lead character, and that subtext is there. Mm-hmm. Because I think in the 80s, that character like that, who was such a douche, would have those kind of prejudices. And then again, he's also accusing that hairdresser of sleeping with his wife, or being interested, at least, in his wife. So I don't know. Maybe
it's
not.
It's vague what he, yeah, I'd, yeah, he accuses the hairdresser, like, of just, like, you're putting ideas in her head or something. Like, it, yeah, I don't. And yeah, it kind of goes back and
forth. But he does say, what is she to you? What is she
yeah.
to you?
Yeah, you're right. There's that weird line, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, who knows? Yeah.
Did you, Jack, did you take a look at the rest of the cast?
No, I didn't really look into them, no. Why, is there some Canada spotting?
There
Hobo spotting?
There is no little hobo spotting, but Margot Pinvidic, who plays the doctor, plays the psychiatrist. She was in Meatballs.
Oh,
one of the greatest. Is it actually considered Canadian or co-pro or something? Shot in Canada, anyway. Yeah,
most of the cast I thought was American, but maybe it is Canadian. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know what they actually, categorize it at. It is actually listed on IMDb as a Canadian film. So yeah, she was in Meatballs, which, you know, terrific film. But Jennifer Cook, who plays his wife,
who has some completely unnecessary nudity that I appreciated.
Well, I wanted to talk about that nudity a little bit.
Mm, yeah, go ahead.
She's the star of Friday the 13th Part 6.
Mm-hmm.
Is she nude in that?
No.
God damn it.
She was in Friday the 13th Part 6?
Yeah, it was the thing I was about to say.
Okay. And she's Megan and everything. I mean, that's a huge role. And then she quickly quits acting.
Either way, all I know is that it was completely unnecessary and much appreciated this episode. It did lead to the one good line when he looks at her and she's naked and he steps into the washroom where she is just about to have a shower and she covers up and he goes, "Nice outfit." That was pretty good.
So she did have a short career. She retired to raise a family. 10 IMDb credits, of which, of course, this is the third. This is third from the last. So as well as being the female lead in my personal favorite of the Friday the 13th Part 6, Jason Lives. She did the TV series of V. The regular TV series. She was the star child. She was Elizabeth Maxwell, the human alien child who had magic powers in the TV show.
Yes. Okay. Interesting. I didn't recognize her from any of these things in this. But what else was she nude in? Is the real question.
I'm gonna guess that side boob and like one frame of frontal is gonna be the width and breadth of her Mr. Skin list.
Damn it! But you know what? I will say this: it was completely unnecessary and much appreciated.
Yeah, well, and that's the good stuff.
And high quality. Don't forget the quality.
Yeah, the good quality. Good quality. Hmm. I wonder if this is the role that made her want to quit acting.
it's pretty close to the end. She seemed to be on kind of an upswing because she had done she did V and then Hitchhiker right after, and then Friday the 13th right after that, and then a TV miniseries. But yeah, she retired to raise a family, which was, you know, not as much in fashion too. Now, but
that's commendable too. You know, that she decided that was where her heart was, and that's what she decided to do. Much respect to all mothers, regardless. So, yes, I mean, well, let me tell you one of the side effects of this. So, I mean, I type into where we're watching these. We're watching all the episodes are up on YouTube, so you can watch along for free yourselves as the listening audience. I type into YouTube, Hitchhiker, Man's Best Friend. I watch the episode. And then I notice that up beside it in the search, right beside it, somebody's uploaded the Ally Sheedy Lance Hendrickson movie, Man's Best Friend from 1993, I think it is. So I watched that right after. Let me tell you, I wish I could put that in the octagon. I don't think it'd win, but I'd love to see where it scores, because that movie was good fun. I mean, the scene where the dog climbs the tree to chase the cat and then reaches the cat at the top and then eats it like an alligator or a cobra eating a rat, completely opens up its jaws and just swallows this cat whole. One of the funniest things I've seen in years. Good times. Highly recommend just typing in Man's Best Friend. Yes, I recommend this episode of Hitchhiker, but I recommend that movie even more. That movie is amazing.
Oh, classic.
Good quality on YouTube, too. It's a good quality feed. It's a no grain or anything like that. Nice quality. Looks like 720p or a 1080p quality. No. Definitely worth watching. Been up for 7 months. Who knows how long before it gets taken down. I can't believe he's been up that long. Definitely watch it, folks. And including you too.
And one more recommendation, because I did look. There are no more nude scenes with Jennifer Cook, but she does have a pasties scene in a film called Give Me an F, an R-rated comedy from...
Man, we think very similar. I have that right up here.
Doing this show together a long time, folks.
Somebody in the chat, send me a picture, okay?
You got it.
That's good stuff. A Man's Best Friend. You guys either seen that? I'm sure at least one of you has seen that.
No, I don't think so.
Not recently.
Recently, no. Well, I mean, it's 30 years old now, so. Yeah. Oh, it's good fun.
I also could have seen a movie also called Man's Best Friend, but a completely different film.
Well, you would probably remember Lance Hendrickson and Ally Sheedy.
Mm-hmm. I also could be remembering scenes from Cujo and not be 100% sure.
Well, that pasty shot is fantastic. I like the skirt she's wearing, too.
It looks like a cheerleader movie, like a cheerleader kind of movie. So I'm sure it's worth it.
That was nice. That's good. That's almost as good as what's in The Hitchhiker.
I could find out.
I appreciate that you found a close up of her just with the breasts, and so we can't see anything.
That's provided by A to Z Nude, because there's no nudity. I can drop this into the show and the show notes because we've gone down this rabbit hole.
We're seriously something wrong with us. That's why you're trolling
for semi-nude pics of actresses from 80s movies is wrong. I don't want to be right.
So true. And now, of course, after rare lust for the highest quality version that is available. Because it's just not on Tubi, which is where I went first. I'm guessing this
could be on YouTube.
Could be on YouTube. Yeah,
it's not on IMDb. This is going to be a hard movie to find.
It is on
IMDb. Yeah, Rare Lust has everything. Everything they hard do. To find. That's got stuff like that.
They do. It's not a high res, but it is there.
It is there.
And I of course don't recommend any, I don't condone illegal file sharing, but you know, if it happens, if something falls off the back of a truck, Rare Lust is a really great site.
Well, that's the thing. We do not condone illegal file sharing, but if it happens, say that you turn on your computer and accidentally hit a button.
Yeah.
And it starts downloading.
Say you've opened a your BitTorrent client, and actually it is on YouTube. Look at that. It lists as the public domain.
I believe it.
That would explain why it's not on Tubi. But yes, it is right there. Well, that's crap. All right. So that, I mean, in fairness, that's just as illegal, but you know, it's more socially acceptable.
That's right.
If it's public domain, then it's just all.
Like, if it's public domain, it's not illegal at all.
That's true. All right. Yeah. I like it.
All right. Let's go watch that and pause that scene. Man's Best Friend. Pretty good. Pretty good. Man's Best Friend, the movie. Really good. Really good.
And we'll get back to you. Give me an F.
We'll let you know next episode.
It's a cheerleader film. We'll record a bonus episode. Just talking about Give Me an F. All right. This has been the Cult Film Showdown's look at the TV series The Hitchhiker. We are in the home stretch. This is got a few more to go. You can find the Cult Film Showdown on Instagram, and you can subscribe on YouTube and your favorite podcast app. Probably all of those. Like, comment, and we are sponsored by WeTalkPodcast.com, the home of the Octagon, our search for the ultimate B-movie. And they have a Facebook, and they have an X. And if you visit our YouTube channel, we have a playlist of all of 10 of the episodes that we will be doing from The Hitchhiker. You watch ahead, and then you can join in the fun. Just put on your headphones on the city bus and talk out loud as if you were one of our panel here. Coming up next, we have Brad Dourif in The Legendary Billy Bee. We'll talk to you next time.